Father, I humble myself before you and confess that without you I can do nothing. I ask that your Holy Spirit would come and minister through me today. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are my rock, my strength, and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we gather together every Shabbat to worship the Lord, and together we're learning who God is by studying His Word. And I did a whole series on the attributes of God in the past. They're on our podcast website. But one of the things that God is He's totally sovereign.
Amen.
God is love. God is holy. He's faithful. And He's unchanging or immutable. And this holy, loving, sovereign, unchanging, and faithful God whom we serve created us in His image. So while God is Father and Son and Holy Spirit, a triune God, the Trinity, the people that He created are also triune beings, their body, soul, and spirit, because we're created in His image. And your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions.
That's right.
Now, there's an organ in our physical bodies that we cannot live without. While other organs are duplicated, such as kidneys, lungs, eyes, ears, arms, legs, and other organs that are duplicated, if you lost one, you can live with the one that you still have. But this particular organ is unique. It pumps life throughout our bodies every single minute that we're alive. And when it stops functioning, we are no longer alive. I'm talking about your heart. Now, just for reference sake, I said that God is totally sovereign. You can look up Psalm 19 and also Psalm 115 and verse 3, where it says, "Our God is in heaven, He does whatever He pleases." And I said that God is love. If you want to look up a verse for that, you can look at 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8. And when I said that God is holy, you can look at Leviticus 11, verses 44 and 45, and Leviticus 19 and verse 2. And when I said God is faithful, if you want a verse to support that, you can look at Hebrews 10:23. It said that He who promises is faithful. And if you want a verse that shows that God is unchanging, immutable, Hebrews 13 and verse 8. But I want to talk today about the heart. Not the one that's beating in our chest, but the heart that's symbolic in Scripture of our innermost feelings and desires and our will and our emotions. And the title of my message today is that God sees your heart. God sees your heart. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Those of you who come here regularly know that we pray this every Shabbat. It says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And in verse 6 it says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." But what does it mean to love the Lord with all your heart? Well, I think it means that you shouldn't have other things that are pulling at you and distracting you from focusing on God. If you love television a little too much, or if you love your job and the, you know, gathering wealth a little too much, if you love your car and your things a little too much, if you love the people that are in your life, of course you should love them, but not so that they take your focus off of also loving God. So when we love God with all our heart, it means that our innermost feelings are open to him, that we're seeking him, that we know that he exists. We believe in him. We have faith in him. And we know that he rewards those who seek him diligently with all their heart. And he sees that. He knows your heart. He knows if you're sincere in seeking after him. He knows if you're distracted. He knows if there's other things that you're focusing on. But he wants our focus to be on him. He looks at your heart. Now, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Verses 1 through 3. My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him your actions are weighed. It's a prayer of Hannah. She said that her heart rejoices in the Lord, and she knows that there's no one who's holy like him, and that the Lord is the God of knowledge. He has knowledge of your innermost feelings and thoughts. He knows your heart, and by him, actions are weighed. Think about that. I mean, everyone wants to hear, I want to hear, that God chose us before we were even born, that all the hairs on our head were numbered, all of our days were measured out before we were even born. He knew us in our mother's womb. We're comforted by that. We love hearing that. But we also need to know that he looks at our heart. He knows your innermost thoughts and feelings and desires. And he loves you. He's for you and he's not against you. But he also knows if when you repent, if you're being sincere or not. When you turn to him, if you're turning to him all the way or only part way. If you forsake things that you know are bad for you, he knows if you still think about them and fantasize about them, even though you've given them up outwardly. God sees your heart and he weighs your actions. But he's for you and he's not against you. Because of him, we can overcome the things of the world that are trying to take us away from our manifest destiny in God. The enemy, the devil, and the demons that are under him want to rob you of the potential that you have to be a child of God and to fulfill all the calling that he's placed on your life. But God sent Yeshua, Jesus, to die on the cross for you so that your sins could be forgiven, so that you could be the righteousness of God in him, so that you could be justified and sanctified and overcome the world. It says, as he is, so are we in this world, it says in 1 John 4:17. And Yeshua said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So we have overcome the world when we become like him, when we focus on him, when we aren't distracted by the things that are swirling around us. Now the devil wants to distract you. Busy, B-U-S-Y, stands for being under Satan's yoke. If you're too busy, the devil's got you right where he wants you because you're no longer focusing on God. You're focusing on all the things that you have to do. And God knows that your heart is focused on those things and not on him. He wants you to succeed. He's for you and he's not against you. But he can't. He gave you free will. He can't keep you from focusing on things that are harmful to you or that are not in your best interest. Let's Look at verse 16, or chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. Chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. Verse 7b. It says, "For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Do you really think that God would have created us with so much outward diversity if he cared about outward appearances? Look around you. Everybody's different. What some people find attractive, other people don't. There's someone for everyone. I see couples all over the world where I've been who are matched with each other for a reason. But God doesn't care about any of that. He looks at your heart, your innermost feelings and desires, your emotions, your will, and what it is that you're choosing to focus on. I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures fairly quickly about the heart. And you don't have to try and take notes or write them down. There's going to be on a CD or on our website. You can listen to it again. But I just wanted to soak in what I want you to understand about the heart and how God feels about your heart. Not the physical heart, again, that's beating in your chest, but your mind, your will, your emotions, your innermost feelings and desires. And let's just go through some of these and see what we can learn. The worship team did a song from Jeremiah 17, not knowing that I was going to use that scripture in my message today. Seems like that happens virtually every week. Jeremiah 17, starting in verse 9. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." Those are verses 9 and 10. But then in verse 14 comes the words from the song that they sang. "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me and I shall be saved, for you are my praise." So in the same passages, he's saying the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, but the Lord searches it and tests our minds and gives it to each man according to his own way. And then right after that, he's praying for deliverance and saying, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed." He's showing a trust for God. He's showing that he knows that God is able to do what he promises. And he said, "Save me, and I shall be saved." And again, he's showing that even though he understands that God is looking at your heart and he's going to give you according to your own way, he also knows that God is able to save and he's able to heal. And that if we trust in him, he can change us. So wherever you are on your journey with the Lord, if you start asking him to heal the places inside you where you need healing and to turn your will and your innermost thoughts more in his direction and less focus on the world and the busyness and all the other things that might distract you, he will be faithful and do that if you trust him to do it. That's the beauty of being a child of God. He's faithful to those who trust in him. But we need to know him in order to trust him. And that's why we study his word, so we can know him. My knowledge of God is increasing all the time because I'm digging into the word and asking for new revelation and meeting with other pastors who are doing the same thing. And I'm bringing the things that I learn and I'm trying to share them with you. Rabbi Ed's doing the same thing. But each of you has to have their own time of digging into God's word and getting to know God for yourself. You can't rely on anointed teachers once a week or less often. You have to be doing something for yourself every day. God sees your heart, and he will give every person according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings, it says in Jeremiah 17:10. Think about that. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 21. There's a lot of proverbs about the heart. When I started getting into Proverbs, God really started showing me verses having to do with heart, 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 heart. And I said, okay, I get it. I need to speak about the heart. Proverbs 21, verse 2. Every way of a person is right in their own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. If you only keep your own counsel, you'll think that what you're planning is right. But you have another guidepost in your Bible, in the Word of God. If you keep his counsel and let him direct your path, which he says he will do if you trust him, the chance that you're going to do something that's off the path of his choosing is less than if you keep only your own counsel. Every way of a person is right in his own eyes, but God weighs your heart. And look at just before that in chapter 19 and verse 21. There are many plans in a man's heart or a person's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that's what will stand. So, one thing that I recommend you pray over yourself is that the Lord will give you his counsel, and that that will be the thing that stands when you have a decision to be made, and that you won't lean on your own understanding. In Proverbs chapter 3, it says, trust the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways acknowledge him. Lean not on your own understanding, and he'll direct your path. And let's look at Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 19. This is one of my favorite verses. As in water, face reflects face, so a person's heart reveals the person. You know, you're revealed to the world by what's in your heart. What's your attitude? What do you portray? It says, from the abundance of a person's heart, his mouth speaks. So when you're speaking out edification and love and building people up, that's what people will see revealed in you. But if you're speaking out criticism and harshness and gossip, then people will think that that's what's in your heart. Words have power, and it's out of your heart that you're speaking. And your heart reveals what you are, what kind of person you are. Just as a reflection in a pond reveals what that face looks like, your heart reveals what your innermost feelings and character is like. Let people see that you are good-hearted, that you are kind-hearted, that you are compassionate and loving, and that you care about them, even if they're strangers. And it will go well with you because God sees your heart, he weighs your actions, and he's going to give to each one according to their own fruit that they've sown in their life. Proverbs 17, verse 3. The refining pot is for silver, and the furnace is for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, it says in Hebrews. The Lord tests your heart. Start praying that you and your heart are right with him and right with other people. And not leaning on your own understanding and your own counsel, but seeking his. And things will go better in your life. Now, God doesn't change our circumstances necessarily. And we don't need him to change our circumstances. He changes us in our circumstances. And if God changes you, you'll see your circumstances differently, whether they've changed or not, and you'll be better off either way. I've lived through some really nasty, horrible circumstances in my own life. But God sustained me and changed me inside those circumstances and brought me out of it a better person than I was before. I praise him for that. I know I couldn't have done it without him. Proverbs 14:33. Wisdom rests in the heart of him or her who has understanding. But what is in the heart of fools is made known to everyone. And in Psalm 14, verse 1, it says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. You all know that scripture, right? A fool in his heart says there is no God. And this scripture in Proverbs says that wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding, but what's in the heart of the fool is made known. In other words, if you're really putting out foolishness out of your heart, everybody's going to know it. It's not going to be a secret. You want your legacy to be that of a fool? I don't think so. And Proverbs 23, verse 26. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. See, the Lord wants to teach us. In Psalm 25, it says that the fear of the Lord can be learned, and it's the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. And now he's saying, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways, so that if you turn your heart over to the Lord and let him lead you, you'll learn his ways and you'll be able to make them your own. It's beautiful what God has planned for those who trust him and love him and give themselves to him. It's not by clinging to your right to yourself that you're going to find peace in this life. It's by yielding your will to God. Turn to Job chapter 22. Job chapter 22, starting in verse 21. Now acquaint yourself with him, capital H, meaning God, and be at peace. Therefore, good will come to you. Receive, please, instruction from his mouth, from God's mouth, and lay up his words in your heart. Lay up God's words in your heart. And this is the promise. For then you will have your delight in the Almighty and lift up your face to God. You will make your prayer to him. He will hear you. You will pay your vows. You will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you. So light will shine in your ways. Lay up God's words in your heart, and he will establish what you declare for you. That's pretty good. That's verses 26 through 28 of Job 22. And the first part was verses 21 and 22. Now turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 4. Verse 3 and 4. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, the word heart in the Old Testament scripture is the Hebrew word lev, but it's pronounced L-E-H-V, lev. It's Strong's 3820. It stands for intellect, awareness, mind, inner person, inner feelings, deepest thought, inner self. As in English, the Hebrew concept of heart encompasses both the physical organ and a person's inner feelings and yearnings. And as we said, God wants us to love him with all of our heart, to give him our heart. He looks at our heart. He weighs our heart. And he's able to sort out and analyze what lies within each person's heart. Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8. Well, I'll read verse 4 first. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust. Verse 6. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Your law is within my heart. It's like a prophetic vision of what would happen when Yeshua came. Now, there was another prophetic vision that was similar in Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And Yeshua came. And at the Last Supper, when he was with his disciples, he held up the third cup, the cup of redemption. And he said, this is the cup of my blood, a new covenant of my blood. And this is what he was talking about, the new covenant, where everyone's going to know the law. And it's going to be written on their hearts and in their minds by the Lord. And he's going to take out our hardened heart and put in a heart of flesh, a heart that's soft and compassionate and open to God. And we can ask for that. We can pray that into our lives because God has already done it. It just needs to manifest in your life. It's already been accomplished. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, it is finished. Meaning there's nothing more that I can do for you. And then when he was resurrected, he opened the minds of the disciples to the scriptures. And they said, didn't our heart burn inside of us when he opened the scriptures up to us? It's not the stony old heart that burns when God opens the scripture. It's that new heart of flesh that's soft toward God and that's loving and compassionate toward other people and that sees everyone as a brother and sister in Messiah. That's the kind of heart we need to have, folks. That's the kind of heart I pray we will each have. Go through a few new covenant scriptures now. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It goes right back to the beginning. What does it mean to be pure in heart? Well, it means that your heart isn't focused like a prism scatters light on all different things and all different colors, but your heart is focused on and directed toward God. That's what it means to have a pure heart, a pure spirit. And those are the people who will see God in their life. You'll see him touching you and manifesting himself to you because your heart is pure toward him. Look at chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 21. This is Yeshua speaking. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if you're focused on things of this world, acquiring things, keeping up with the Joneses, whoever has the most things when they die wins, if that's your attitude, that's where your heart is, and God sees it and he weighs it, and he's going to give to each one according to their actions. But if you're kind and compassionate and loving toward all the people that God brings across your path, if you're a good husband, a good employee, good coworker, a good friend, a good father or mother, a good wife, a good teacher, whatever, and your heart is focused on God, you will lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. My mentor, Doug Stanton, Australian evangelist, he said that he believes that part of your reward when you get to heaven is going to be reflected in all the people whose lives that you touched with your earthly ministry. That they're going to be there just saying, because of you, this good thing happened for me and this good thing happened for me. Can you imagine how rewarding that would be to see all the people that you touched positively just standing there, just applauding that you made it to heaven and saying, you know, you made a difference in my life. That's what it means to lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. It's not about gold and silver. Those things pave the streets in heaven. It's not about precious gems. Those are the gates of the new city of Jerusalem. It's about the people whose lives that you have touched in a positive way for God. That's the real treasure. And that is where your heart will be. If you focus on the Lord, your heart is where your treasure is. I want my treasure in heaven to reflect that that's where my heart is. I want that for each of you as well. Turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, Gospel of John. Verses 37 and 38. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Yeshua stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Yeshua was not yet glorified. If we believe in Yeshua, if our focus is on him, then we will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And out of our heart, out of our innermost being, will flow the gifts of the Holy Spirit to touch other people. And when they're thirsty, they'll come and drink. That's what Yeshua promised, and that's what I've seen happen in the lives of people that are so focused. And it can happen in your life if you make that your focus. Now let's look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verses 6 and 7. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Yeshua the Messiah." I mean, I want Yeshua to guard my heart and my mind and protect me from the onslaught of busyness and things and what the world is trying to distract me with. And he promises that he will if we just ask him and thank him and believe that he's giving those things to us. We have what we've asked for. The shalom of God that surpasses all human understanding will guard your heart and your mind through Yeshua the Messiah. What a promise. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for your precious promises that are yea and amen to those who love you and trust in you. We thank you, Lord. Hear our prayers and supplications with thanksgiving. Help us make our requests known to you. And guard our hearts and our minds through Yeshua the Messiah. Oh, praise you, Father. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Messiah forgave you, so you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, Amen. To which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Messiah dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The peace of God can rule in your heart if you manifest these character traits. Tender mercy or compassion for other people. Kindness, humility, and meekness. Meekness doesn't mean that you're weak. Meekness means that you're yielded to God and not standing up for your own right to yourself. People standing up for their own right to themselves are humanists trying to be God in their own life, and it's sin. But when you yield yourself to the Lord, when your heart is turned to Him and yielded to Him, then He can come and give you peace that will rule in your heart. And He can protect your mind. And He will. He's faithful. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Starting in verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Yeshua the Messiah, and love one another as He gave us commandment. If your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. If your heart does not condemn you, you have confidence toward Him. Yes. That's a good thing. Now, there's just a couple more scriptures. The next one is like a foundation of our faith. It's a scripture that everyone has to know and be ready to share. And it's Romans 10. Verses 8 through 10. It says that if the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Yeshua and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then in verse 17 it says, so that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, if you believe in your heart that God raised Yeshua from the dead, and you confess with your mouth that he's the Lord, the Son of God, you will be saved. You need to know that. And you need to be able to share it with someone if you're called to. Thank you, Lord. And if there's anyone today who isn't certain of their salvation, they can see me or Rabbi Ed after the service and we'll pray for you. And we want you to leave here knowing that you're a child of the living God. Psalm 62, verses 5 through 8. This is my closing scripture, and it's also a prayer at the same time. I hope that you'll all agree with me as I read this. My soul and all of our souls wait silently for God alone, for our expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. So, the God who sees your heart and wants to know that it is directed toward Him invites you to pour out your heart before Him so that He can be a refuge for you. Oh, thank you, Lord. You are our refuge and our hope. You are our Redeemer and our trust. We praise you. We thank you. We glorify you. All honor and all glory be to God and Yeshua the Messiah. Thank you, Lord. Well, you know, I was going to put up a diagram of the human heart and go through all the chambers and everything. But no, I'm just kidding. Please rise as we close the service with the Aaronic benediction.